Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Good morning, everybody. How is everyone feeling about that one? I would imagine not particularly great. Didn't do this, record this in the wake of the game. Was it a family thing? It's actually my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. So there you go. There's a peek behind the curtain for you. It's probably best I didn't do it yesterday anyway, because emotions are running high, aren't they? And I'll be lying if I didn't send the odd, I don't think this is working, I think Ange can fuck off type WhatsApp messages in the wake of that one. So, yeah, maybe for the best I didn't. Look, I think there's two very important things to consider in the wake of a game like this. Number one, watching Tottenham lose is never nice. Number two, watching Tottenham lose to Arsenal is very, very, very unpleasant, very not nice, especially at home. As I sort of said in the preview, it was potentially going to be the first time since the 1980s, that we lost back-to-back games at home against them, even throughout all their invincible period. How bad we were in the 90s, the noughties. They still didn't manage to do to us what they've done in these past two seasons, which is pretty shocking. I think we can all agree. I think, look, we're not here to make any rash decision, blah, 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 blah. Rash decisions, rash judgments on anything. There are mitigating circumstances to this, right? Because you can look at, say, the Van de Ven offside, right? Offside or not, whatever your take on it is, it was a marginal decision. Some days it goes our way, some days it doesn't. I'm of the opinion that Van de Ven's back was to goal. It was pretty much in line. I mean, I think it effectively was in line. And it's taking the deflection of Tomiyasu, who was trying to block the ball. It should have been a goal. But didn't go our way on this occasion, and this is what happens. The one that bothers me more really is the Trossard trip on Kulusevski. I've seen some people say that Kulusevski, you know, he got punished for staying on his feet. I don't even think he was trying to stay on his feet. I just think it was his momentum. He got tripped over, and his momentum saw him just continue to bundle forwards, and he went down. It was a very, very clear penalty. I've seen some people say on Reddit that on the American broadcast, and please, Americans, if you can attest to this, on the American broadcast, it says that Michael Oliver was flagged by VAR that he needed to review the incident, and he refused to do so, which is pretty strange. And given that 'tis the season for everybody writing to the PGMOL, maybe we should join in on that, because that seems pretty outrageous, because that was a penalty. And then it was obviously a two-goal swing, wasn't it? Because Arsenal went up the other end and scored. The problem with this is, though, as much as we can sit here and bellyache about decisions that should have gone our way, which is fair, it is a mitigating circumstance, as I said, to a degree. The issue is, however, that really, we gave Arsenal three very preventable goals. Maybe let's just say the Saka one's a bit harsh. I know people are very quick to jump on Ben Davis there, and he maybe should have done better, but still. Look, in my opinion, Bukayo Saka is lauded in the fashion that he is because he's a brilliant footballer that is doing that to all manner of players, right? Could Ben Davis have done better? Yeah, but it is Bukayo Saka at the end of the day. And he skinned him and he scored a decent goal off the back of it. So I think we're getting into the territory where things are probably, you know, if we're calling that a preventable goal, then I think that's very, very, that's on the thicker end of the subjective wedge, right? When we're talking about two pretty easy corners that Arsenal have scored, and this is a pattern amongst Tottenham all season long, us conceding from corners, us conceding from set pieces. And I know the quotes attributed to Ange have been kind of mushed about and melded to suit certain hyperboles and certain agendas and everything like that. But, you know, the manager has effectively himself still come out and said afterwards that he doesn't consider coaching set pieces to be of the utmost importance to him. He said such a thing previously. I think that is a bit of a question mark over him. I do. I think there's a lot of good to Ange Postecoglou. Tottenham dominated a fair bit of the play yesterday. I do have to say, I think this is kind of people running with stats and not combining that with the eye test. The eye test suggesting that Spurs didn't really create many good opportunities yesterday. Arsenal were all very comfortable, and I'm sure Arsenal were quite happy having Tottenham kind of knock the ball about in their own half without any real menace to it. I believe we had one shot on target the whole game. It felt like every time the funny thing about this is being an Ange Postecoglou performance is that it felt that every time we were on the break, every time we had a chance to get clear of Arsenal, we sort of shat ourselves and passed it backwards. We slowed our own kind of counterattacks kind of needlessly a lot of the time. So, yeah, I know on another day that game could have been 1-0, 2-2. Spurs might have nicked it. I don't think so. I think Arsenal are a very, very good side. And I think had we gone 1-1, had we even gone ahead 2-1, I think Arsenal would have really kind of opened up and gone for us. And, you know, I think Arsenal were pretty comfortable, barring maybe the last 10 to 15 minutes. Arsenal were pretty comfortable for most of the game. And I do have to say, I'm being honest, I think you're being quite disingenuous if you think otherwise. I've seen quite a few takes about, you know, Invert the Wing, for example, is a big one. And I know he's a semi sort of parody account. It's hard to really work out, but he's been kind of on one today talking about how Tottenham completely dominated that game and everything. And, you know, I think we can all have our opinions on sort of what people's different agendas and stuff are. But I think those kind of takes do make us look a little bit silly. And I'm not really here for it, because I don't think it's a fair reflection to say that we dominated that game and we were somehow unlucky to come away from the game losing it, really. Because Arsenal are a great side, and I think they were largely comfortable for most of the game, and I don't really think we bothered them too much, really. So, yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. I mean, it's absolutely foul to lose to them again at White Hart Lane. I mean, we've beaten them once at the Emirates. Well, I think twice. So once in the league in the Emirates in the entire time of his existence, 19, 20 years probably. Beating them twice there if you count the League Cup, obviously, whereas they've already beaten us what, twice at the new White Hart Lane, 5 years. And I know this is kind of like a moot point, there's, you know, whatever, new stadium, but it's just quite disappointing that in that time, I use it more to just essentially make the point that I would say for maybe half the time the Emirates has been standing, we've been the better side than Arsenal, maybe. Let's say just shy of a decade, we've been a better side than Arsenal. Really, we have. And I'm not saying this is some blinkered Spurs fan, and I know they'll say they've won FA Cups, but I think they would say that we have been better. We've been moving in a better direction than they have, and whatever. Yeah, and that whole time, we've still not really managed to do them. They always seem to be a team that can turn up against us. And it's just frustrating to see us lose to them. I don't think yesterday was... I mean, the game prior to this, last season's game, was about a lack of guts, was about a lack of commitment. And that was kind of, you know, characteristic of a lot of the sort of death throes of the Conte era and just everything that it represented. I do think Spurs put in a decent enough shift yesterday. I don't think anybody really hid other than Pierre Mohoibier, who always does that. And that's something I'll come on to. I think for the most part they were okay. Ange had a bit of a dig at the players, didn't he? He said they all need to be like Romero, which I think was maybe a bit unfair. I think there's some notable examples. Kulusevski was a player that was really going for it. I think Van de Ven had a good game, to be honest. Decent enough game. I think Bentancur was okay, but I just, again, it raises questions about his suitability as a player that's had two major injuries in quick succession. And I guess we're kind of on a bit of a waiting game with him to see how he comes back. It's just very disappointing. It's very disappointing. And at large, in some respects, I think, I'm not saying that, please don't twist this, what I'm saying. But I think in terms of like the free pass that Ange Postecoglou gets, that time is kind of running out. Because I do think that there's been a propensity amongst a certain, say, group of fans that when there are criticisms coming out about Ange Postecoglou, tend to default back to you're being wobble-headed, you don't have the guts or whatever for a rebuild, you don't have the, I don't know, the intellectual capacity almost. It tends to be around this kind of intellectual posturing. You don't have the intellectual capacity to see what we're doing. And I don't think that's fully fair. I think there's probably something in that. I think that it's a bit of a tired example to say, look what happened with Klopp's first season, Pep's, Arteta's, all these types of things, right? I don't know if that's, we can say that in retrospect, right? I think that's the thing. I think, you know, it's a smarter thing to say, as you're, I told you so. I don't think you can just preempt and just say, well, you know, especially in the cases of Guardiola and Klopp, two of the greatest managers that the Premier League's ever seen, they had a dodgy first start. And look, you know, it's not, I don't think it's the gotcha that people think it is, because it works on this idea. It still works on a sense of blind faith in the way that Ange Postecoglou is going to emulate anything close to what either of those two have done. I do think it's fair to say he is, you know, it's his first season in charge of Spurs, and he has said all along that this is a process, as most managers do, right? But equally, I think it's safe enough of an observation to make that Spurs' performance levels have declined over the course of the season. And I would say probably worryingly so. I think the argument that, you know, we're in a process and it's going to take time, it almost carries more weight if we started off pretty poorly and we grew to having middling results. I think the fact that we started off so unbelievably well, knocked the ball about fantastically, seemed to have so many ideas on pitch, the way we defended, the way we attacked, the way we transitioned the ball, all of it. It seemed so fresh. It seemed like somebody had injected Spurs with something that was, that's nothing scandalous, but injected us with some sort of serum that suddenly unlocked this potential that we knew we had under Antonio Conte, and he wasn't getting the best out of these players, right? And it feels like we've seriously regressed as the season's gone on. And, you know, fatigue plays a part, although we haven't had European football. We've been knocked out of the cup competitions early on. So, again, defaulting back to fatigue with us, I don't really think is an acceptable rebuke, if I'm being brutally honest, because we are going to be playing European football next season. So we're just going to have to get used to it. That's just the nature of being a top club. And we've dealt with injuries, but again, that's kind of part of football. We are building a squad, so I take that more on board. You know, he probably needs more players for the squad, not just the starting 11, that suit what we're doing. I think when we're talking about new players, I think it's abundantly clear that if we want to play this way, and if we want to win the league, as Ange Postecoglou says he wants to, he says that's his ambition to do so. Great, and I love hearing that from him, and that's the side of him that I love, and I'm really behind. Is, you know, not kind of clipping our wings. The scope of his ambition is the very top. And that's what I've been crying out for years from our managers. So great, bring that on. But if we are going to continue playing this way, and if that is our ambition, we really, and you can laugh, but we need a Declan Rice, Rodri level midfielder. We do. I think that's become abundantly clear the past few months. We need pretty much an all-action workhorse powerhouse midfielder. And I know those are in short supply, and I'd probably struggle to name you one. But we need one of those, and we need to spend big money on one of those. Because I think we need somebody that is ready to step in there and boss it, as Arsenal have done with Rice. 100 mil for Declan Rice is suddenly looking like... Ben Welch, the Arsenal fan in the preview, he nailed it, really. He said that in the time that they've signed Declan Rice, he's never once seen his price tag mentioned. And just to the respect that, like, he's such a good player, and he was just such a shrewd purchase, really, for Arsenal, that it wouldn't really make sense to bring it up. I mean, I guess people would be doing that if he was playing badly, but I guess that's testament to the fact that sometimes you spend a lot of money on a pretty surefire bet. And let's be real, I think even your most ardent West Ham, Arsenal hating, Chelsea too, hating Spurs fan, is going to say Declan Rice is quality. Everyone knew he was quality. Head and shoulders kind of West Ham's best player. Head and shoulders, wasn't even close. Walks into any team in the country, really. Probably in Europe, and Arsenal just did the thing that clubs need to do, like Liverpool did before, Van Dijk and Alisson Becker, as I often throw back to, and just drop the money that they needed to drop. And I think it's becoming clearer and clearer with football, with Premier League football at least, that's what you need to do. Building the process, building the kind of squad, building the identity is important. And you do that with shrewd acquisitions. You bring in players who can play to, you know, your manifesto, if you like. They can bring that to life, and they can prove to whoever the powers that be are that you're a manager with some nous, that has essentially what Pochettino did at Tottenham, right? And then once they've almost earned the right to have the keys to the war chest, the oft used phrase, the war chest, once they've earned the right to get the money to delve into that, then you need to do it because you need to have that cherry on top. I dare say that had we ended up plonking a couple of top tier talents into, after 16-17, come second in the league, right? Just by a whisker, 86 points. Arsenal are on par for their record points total this year, which will be, I think, 89 points. You know, we finished on... And people sort of talk about Manchester City now. People want to forget just how good that Tottenham team was, because it's more fun to say Tottenham a bottle job, Spursy, all this type of shit. And there's a disingenuous level of discussion around Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. We all know this, right? And people from the outside, some fans, some neutrals will agree on this. You get the odd sort of, you know, should we say, like, reasonable, rational fan, which is kind of a bit of a trademark unto itself, isn't it? But, you know, people like HLTCO, who I think is often quite complimentary, or not complimentary, but I think at least doesn't get sucked into the hyperbole around Spurs, for example. I think some people would say how good that Spurs team was, how good Pochettino's team was. And we felt from that point it just started to fall to pieces, didn't it? Danny Rose had his comments about our ambition. Eric Dyer wanted out, and you know, this was a very, very good version of Eric Dyer, you know, and I still think he's a good player. I said that all the way to the end, that he's a very good player. And he's showing that in you know, in certain respects at Bayern Munich right now. But he wanted out, wanted to go to Manchester United, which was seen as a bit of a blow for us. Kyle Walker obviously left. You know, a bit further on down the line, we started to have Harry Kane start to agitate to leave and everything like that. So, you know, I think even like Vertonghen and Alderweireld fell out with Poch at certain points, didn't they? I mean, I think it's less clear as to what that was about. But I remember the first, when Kyle Walker left, that was kind of the first point when I was like, ah, dear, this is our trend now. This is kind of where it's going. And I don't think many of us wanted to believe it. I don't think I really wanted to believe it myself at that point. But it started to feel like that was the beginning of the end. When really, off the back of the 16-17 season, it should have been, here you are, Mauricio. I know we're building this stadium, but we're good for it. We're an internationally recognised football team. We're a brand now. We're in the Premier League. We know there's going to be money coming. Let's dip into the coffers even further. What's an extra 100 mil on top of an already £1 billion worth of debt that we were in for the stadium? Here's the 100 mil. Go out, get those two players. We just come second in the Premier League. Go out, drop that 100 mil on those two players, and let's go for it now. Let's win it. Let's do it. But we didn't do that. And seeing Arsenal kind of doing that now, they still might not win it. Maybe it's just a Spurs fan in me. I've got the bad feeling they're going to do it though. I think I can see us beating Manchester City, and I can see Manchester City maybe drawing one. I don't know why. I just don't trust City this year. And Arsenal just are really good, aren't they? And so, yeah, it's painful again to have that juxtaposition, isn't it? It's frustrating. It's frustrating to be a club that's the same size as them now. Everything, you know, whatever Arsenal fans want to say about us, we make the same amount, if not probably more money than they do now. It just seems strange that we're still hesitant to drop money, but maybe we will this summer. But it just feels like we can't get things in a row, right? We can't get our ducks in a row, can we? Because we're going to be going into the next season with a lot of questions as to how good or not we are, where we need to. I mean, I think it's quite clear we need probably a really, really good player. Nico Williams, for example, somebody of that ilk in the final third. We probably need a striker, I'm going to be honest. We definitely need just, like I say, a powerhouse central midfielder. Somebody, because, you know, part of it, and I don't really blame him for this, there's been a lot of tinkering with that central midfield pairing, because I think we honestly don't really know who's the best player, who's the best combination, who are the best players to start in those positions. But I think we need somebody that is unquestionably brilliant to start there. And really, we need proper backup for Udogie and Porro. We need players who are more suited to this system. Seems like we're trying to get rid of Jed Spence. So any of the hopes that Jed Spence is going to come back in and, you know, be the sort of player that we were hoping he would be, don't seem to have much foundation at all. I don't know. It's just a weird one. It's a weird one, isn't it? It's frustrating. I think, you know, I know we talk about kind of Ange and the way in which he goes into games, and is it naive? Is it this? Is it that? I don't even really know on that one, you know. I don't even really know, because I like the way we play. I do. I kind of get his point in that. The one that rankles for me is the set pieces, because they're clearly appalling. We're clearly awful at taking them, and we're as bad as I've ever seen us at defending them. And I honestly mean that, as bad as I've ever seen Tottenham at defending set pieces. It's almost like when somebody gets a corner against us, it's almost a goal. it's getting that bad. It really is. We definitely need to... Somebody at the Premier League definitely needs to address... There needs to be some clarity around the obstruction of the goalkeeper, because that was happening all day yesterday to Vicario. And it keeps happening. And people say he needs to be strong. But what's the fella supposed to do? There were, I think it was for their third goal. Ben White was literally just backing into him, just pushing him out of the way. It just seems quite mad that we're in this place, really, where it's gone from goalkeepers are this overprotected breed to now goalkeepers just can be fouled, and they need to kind of get over it. It's very strange. Yeah, I said I was going to have a dig at Pierre-Emile Højbjerg, and I'm not going to say anything that, you know, you haven't heard me say before about him. I think he brings a panicked lack of control to games when he starts them. How many times do we need to see the experiment of Pierre-Emile Højbjerg starting games? It never goes well. His positioning's awful. And I was making sure to watch this, because I was like, I don't just want to kind of skim over this. I don't just want to have this kind of confirmation bus. In that first half, his positioning's terrible. He will stand behind an Arsenal player and wave his arms around and ask for the ball. It doesn't make space for himself, doesn't make himself an option. And it leaves our centre-backs under pressure constantly. It means Bentancur's having to drop back constantly further to do the work that Pierre-Emile Højbjerg is supposed to be doing. I'm not here for it. Bring on Pierre-Emile Højbjerg when we are winning a game and we need to shut it out, and the opponents are raining down attacks upon us. You need him in there to just chase everything, break up play. Fine, he can do that well. I'll give him that. And he's done that well on several occasions. He can even exploit sometimes when the opposition are coming at us. He can sometimes exploit the pockets of space that they leave open, because he has a decent enough range of passing on him. He actually does, funnily enough. However, when we want to control a game, and I've said this time and time again, but when we want to control a game, when we want to be on the front foot, he is not the man to do it, ever. And I just rolled my eyes a second I saw that he was starting the game. I didn't get it. I don't get it. I just don't understand it. I don't understand it with him. Timo Werner, I mean, went off early, didn't he? So, I don't know. It's a funny one. But I almost like, you know, I sort of went on that thing a couple of weeks ago about him. And I'm like, I can't really be bothered to kind of go on about Timo Werner, because we are going to sign him. I think we know that's going to happen, don't we? And what's the point of, you know, kind of getting wound up about something that is going to happen? But I don't think we should sign him. I think, yeah, there are some good things to what Timo Werner does. I've called them out myself. But at the same time, I don't think it... The aura around Timo Werner is banter. It's failure. I don't think any of the other top clubs in the country signed Timo Werner. I think Aston Villa probably turned their nose up at Timo Werner. I just don't think it's... I don't think it's the right move for Tottenham to do that. You know, I just don't. I think things at times are bigger than just, well, he's got some really good dribbling stats this season and he's put on a couple of assists. Football is bigger than that. I do think it is. And people rage against this stuff. People don't want to accept this, right? People do want to view, some people want to view football all as an intellectual pursuit. And that's not just a dig at stats stuff. Stats and just this kind of, I'm above emotion. And I saw a lot of that yesterday. I'm sort of avoiding Twitter nowadays. I'm sure any of you have seen who follow me and stuff. I just can't really be arsed with it anymore. And when I do sort of duck in just to sort of do a temperature check, if you like, people are losing their arses after we've lost to Arsenal at home. That is allowed, you know? That really is allowed. I don't think it needs other Spurs fans coming in to say, oh, I can rise above this. To what end? Like, football's an emotional game. It's a release. It's an escape, you know? People do get kind of wound up about it. So just, I don't know, give over, innit? Let's do the players.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So, Guillermo Vicario, you know, I think good performance. I know people will always disagree on can he do better or not with the pressure he gets put under from set pieces. I think he was decent. He had that one point blank save to stop it going 4-0 as well, when I think it was ball got lashed across the Saka and he managed to get a shot off and Vicario got his foot out at the last minute. So, good performance from him, as per usual, I thought. He still conceded 3 goals, which is kind of frustrating, isn't it? But I think it'd be harsh to really say any of those were his fault. Ben Davies, just not suited to this system, is he? He just isn't. And I don't think I'm going to say anything about Ben Davies here that people don't already know. Good player, good club servant. Should only be in break glass use in case of emergency. But, you know, is what it is. Mickey van der Ven, good performance. I think his goal was fine. But it got ruled out and that's that. A few times when we were, a couple of times anyway, at least, when we were in the ascendancy in the last sort of 10, 15 minutes or so chasing that goal, we saw his attributes come to the fore when he's sprinting back and stopping Arsenal from essentially scoring, you know. So he's perfect for that. Christian Romero, clearly our man of the match. I don't think that's anything sort of revelatory. Brilliant. Captain's performance. No bookings. None of that stuff. I mean, good finish. It was kind of an error from their part, but still he capitalised on it. So good on him. Didn't stop fighting to the very end, was well up for it. Yeah, good on him. Speaking about bookings and stuff, I do want to say one of my salty points, and this will be one of my Tottenham fan things, and if Arsenal fans find it and clip it up, fine, I couldn't give a fuck. But we've had bookings for Van der Vaart, we've had bookings for Eric Dier, and I want to say somebody else as well in the past for goading the opposition fans in the North London derby. Why is it that Saka has managed to twice run up to our fans, cupping his ears, goading them, and not get a yellow card for it? I don't get it. I thought, especially in games like this, in derbies, and you know, I don't want to suck the joy out of football and all this type of things. I know this is what it's about, but my point is, when the rules are applied one way and not the other, that's what leads to this sort of feeling of discontent. If this is going to be liberally applied, if we are going to have it, right, that star players from teams can run up and start winding up the home fans in games, then let's have it. Fine, right? But we're always told about, like, no, this isn't, you know, they can't do this anymore. So why is he running up cupping his ears to the home end, you know? Why is he being allowed to do that? And in a really provocative fashion. I think we all saw it after his goal. Do you know what I mean? He's run up cupping both of his ears. It's piss take, you know. Anyway. Pedro Porro, decent enough performance, I thought. Whatever. Pierre Mahoibier, I can't wait till he's not a Tottenham player anymore. That's all I can say. Rodrigo Bentancur, sort of spoke about him at the very beginning. It's hard to know. I thought he was pretty decent yesterday, but also not at his best. Will he ever reach his best again? Who knows? He's got credit in the bank because he's such a, you know, he's a fantastic player. He's shown how brilliant he can be in the past, but that player has had two major injuries, so it remains to be seen if, you know, he's gonna come back to the levels that we have seen from him previously at Tottenham. Timo Werner didn't really have enough time to impress himself on the game, went off injured. James Maddison, bit of a worrying one. He's not been in very good form at all. I think he was pretty dirge yesterday, if I'm honest. Petulant, gave away one in particular, one pretty sort of notably silly free kick outside our own area when he, I can't remember who it was, but he yanked them back right in front of the referee. And I just thought, what are you doing, fella? Like, what's going on? It's not clicking for him at the moment at all. And I don't know. I'd expect more from him. Was talking about him on one of the Patreon pods. Patreon.com/RTR pod. Thursday pod. We do a Thursday roundup pod, myself and Phil. And we were just sort of discussing on there whether or not if his season ends in the way that it's kind of been for the past month or so, would we say on balance it's been a good season for James Maddison? And we kind of landed on no. He started off very, very well. He has had a big injury in the middle of that season, so it is always worth remembering that. But, you know, and that can, you know, that's a factor in everything, but it still doesn't take away from the fact that his on-pitch performances have been disappointing. They have been. Would expect a lot more from him than we've seen. Hopefully, he goes into the new season with renewed confidence, fully fit, and we see a much better James Maddison. But we're not seeing that lad that was banging in worldies and hitting nice free kicks and 30-yard shots and whatever that we saw at Leicester. We're not even seeing the lad that we saw at the very start of the season with Spurs, like managing, who was taking players on, weaving around players, was being that kind of like Ericsson, like plus one in a way. A more mobile Ericsson, quicker, passing the ball about, creating opportunities, being the creative fulcrum of the side. He's just kind of disappeared into himself a bit. And I do think it's fair to say that it has been, on balance, a pretty disappointing season if he doesn't kind of improve in the next few games. But, you know, I still sort of got hope that he can turn it around for next year, maybe, you know? Dejan Kulusevski, up there with Romero, I think, for being one of our best performers yesterday. I think his ball retention is just crucial for us, for this system, to allow us to have players moving around him, buzzing around him, creating space, moving into kind of dangerous positions to make something happen. Sometimes it all feels a bit rushed. It feels like we've got a lack of control on the pitch in most areas a lot of the time. Whereas Dejan Kulusevski kind of gives us that in the final third. He never stops running. That's an important thing to remember with him. And yeah, he puts in a shift. And yeah, I think he's integral to the side in many respects. He's had a dip here and there, but I put that mainly down to fatigue. He's one of the few players that completely stepped up in this season during our kind of blip part. after Chelsea, after we got the kind of injuries, after we had people disappearing off for international duty and everything like that, he was somebody that really, really stepped up. So, yeah, great. Son Heung-min, just, I don't know. There's that part of me that thought, you know, at the start that he was better suited to this position on the pitch, but I'm not sure that he is, you know. Maybe we need more of a kind of a centre point there, because when people aren't given a space for him to run into, he struggles a bit, I think, Sonny. Look, he still scored a goal. He still stepped up in the North London derby, and when he's been asked to do so, slotted at home. So, you know, he deserves plaudits for that, because he is our captain and he is often reliable in those sort of situations. We're just talking about imbalance of play. Can he do it sort of week in, week out anymore? I don't know. He is getting on a bit. This is a, you know, this is a seriously intense system that Ange Postecoglou plays. You know, there will be some talk, and I think there has already been some talk, the likes of Nico Williams, and when we're talking about legacy planning for Sonny. And I think we need to kind of get the wheels in motion on that. I'm not saying bin Son off, not at all. Give Son a new contract, keep him in the squad, keep him around the place. Start him plenty of games, you know. But I think, look at it this way, like Salah and Sonny, two very similar players, in many respects. And now Salah's, you know, I think they're pretty much the same age. Salah's at the point in his career now, isn't he, where he's not starting every game. He is rotated, and we're still not doing that with Sonny. Because, yeah, we don't want to, or we don't have enough sort of decent options in order to do that. And I think that's an issue, isn't it? That's an issue for Spurs, and it's something we need to rectify. We need to get on top of this squad if we want a challenge for things, because I just think we're not there yet. I know there was a lot of would we, could we, and I felt at the start of the season, I thought, you know, without Europe, stranger things have happened. I've seen Leicester do it, so why can't Spurs do it? That's what it came from. But when it gets into the business end of a season, when games start to mount up and what have you, pressures on, expectation mounts, then, you know, I think reality bites, doesn't it? It's a frustrating day yesterday. Really frustrating. Frustrating result. And for a lot of those reasons that I outlined at the top around it, kind of our direction of travel versus theirs. And it's just hard to see kind of what Spurs will do. I know there is this talk about 200-250 mil. Great, but I believe it when I see it. And I think we all probably will, right? You can see us maybe bringing in a player or two, and then the same old sort of stuff will come through. Well, we need to move some players on before we can get players out the door. And then we've got the same old, nobody wants to buy Ndombele, nobody wants to buy Lo Celso. I mean, there's even talk that we're giving Lo Celso a new contract. We're bringing in Timo Werner, who's going to be on massive wages. It just, I was hoping for, you know, I think the main thing I would reflect on is I was hoping with Ange coming in and what it sort of seemed to signify at the start of the season, we'd have a clearer idea at least of what Spurs were going to be, how we were going to operate, what we were going to do. And I think that idea is, I think it is becoming clearer. And unfortunately, it just seems to be that, yeah, we are going to have a manager that wants to play more in the Tottenham way, as the chairman and everybody has said, you know, that's what we want to get back to. However, the club itself fundamentally doesn't seem to really want to change how it operates. It seems to be that we still, I mean, let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what this summer brings. This is preemptive. I know I've sort of half opened this, but let's wait and see. Let's wait and see what the summer brings Let's see, maybe this is a process. Maybe this is a process both on the pitch and off it. Maybe we will start to see some changes in the way the club operates in the transfer market. Maybe we will, because we need to, because we're not going to win anything significant anyway until we do. And that's just the brutal fact of the matter, really. But maybe we will change. Maybe we will change, and that'll be good, obviously. But yeah, a chastening defeat. Chelsea up next, isn't it? Manchester City. I think let's release. I'm going to lead a petition to say release any footballer. Doesn't matter if it's Sonny, doesn't matter if it's Romero. Release any one of our players who scores against Manchester City. And look, come up with your takes about we should concentrate on ourselves. It's a tin pot mentality. I don't care. I don't care about that. I don't care what you think. I don't want Arsenal to win the league. I don't want them to. I couldn't care less about us finishing in the top four. It's looking unlikely now. But this season, I couldn't care less. Because, you know what? I don't think we're ready for Champions League football yet anyway. I don't think we're a Champions League side. I don't think we're ready for it. I think we're ready to make a fist of trying to win the Europa League. And I think we should. And I think we could. In a, you know, ideal scenario, we could do. So let's go for that. Let's aim for that. And, you know, see what we can do. But, yeah, you know, I mean, let's just wait and see. It's a waiting game now. It's frustrating. Don't get me wrong. It's annoying to lose, you know, to go 3-0 down at home to Arsenal's. Disgusting. It's a despicable thing to have happen. Could have been more. For all the, you know, we were unlucky, we could have done more, they could have done more as well. So, was not good. Should be a fortress against that lot. And, you know, it's twice they've done that to us. And I just think at the moment, right, Spurs fans are allowed to have a bit of a moan about it. They are. I don't think people need to be policed on moaning about losing to Arsenal, all right? Let's not lose sight of that. I think at the same time, you know, for all the kind of like, I am so intellectual, I am above this. Number one, you have to remember that football is an emotional sport, right? And for a lot of people, it's a release, okay? For most of us, it's a release. So the sort of posturing around it is tedious. It really is. And just secondly, it's Arsenal. So fuck off. If people want to moan about losing to Arsenal, they can do so. Because it's what we do, you know? It's what we do. We lose to Arsenal, we moan about it, and then we go again. Right? This fan base, the people, you don't... Fuck off, man. It's boring. But yeah, I don't think we need to be calling for Ange Postecoglou's head either. Don't need to be doing that. Probably a bit of perspective required. You know, yes, we've been battered by Arsenal. It's not pleasant, but they are well good. And we're not that good. I don't think we are that good at the moment. Anyway, so, you know, is what it is. But anyway, yeah, sorry it's a day late. Probably for the best. Hopefully, you know, it's helped a bit. Anybody, if you do want to sign up to the Patreon, please do patreon.com/RTRpods. If you don't want to do that, but you want to support the show, please just share it. You know what I mean? Like on YouTube, ratings on wherever you kind of listen to podcasts or anything like that. And yeah, grand. Come on, you Spurs. Fuck off, you Spurs. Whichever way you want to take it.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.